You're listening to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
Welcome to Quantum Leap Book Club. During the next hour, beloved mind scientist Parisha and her guests from around the world will read and discuss various best-selling books with well-known authors. Every show will apply retention techniques designed to help you to absorb powerful knowledge to effectively change your life. Join us every week for a thought-provoking hour and re-listen as often as you can. You will be delighted by what you learn, and you will be excited by the results. Are you ready to take the quantum leap? Here's Parisha.
This is Quantum Leap Book Club, and our regular host, Parisha, will not be joining us tonight as she's traveling and teaching. So her co-hosts will cover tonight's material. Our co-hosts are Geraldine Dalby Ball, environmental biologist from Sydney, Australia; Rosemary Heyer, English teacher working with children in Frankfurt, Germany; Dr. Joyce Mullenhauer, doctor of naturopathy in Kingman, Arizona; and Marianne Love, psychologist from Melbourne, Australia. And our book this week is Code to Joy by George Pratt and Peter Lumbro. And we're in chapter 5. We'll be discussing pages 131 to 162. And we're broadcasting through Law of Attraction Radio Network. So let's begin. And this has been a wonderful book, and I hope everybody listening is having as much fun as we are in reading and applying all these strategies. Very, very powerful. This would transform every life if simply doing and being and just doing the simple exercises that they've got set out here. It makes it very workable for everybody to overcome any kind of history, no matter how bad it was, to really live the life of your dreams. And today we've got Geraldine Dalby Ball, who'd like to share. What would you like to present?
Well, absolutely. Leading from the section last week where we looked at the reasons and how our brains, particularly as children, are openly receptive almost to the point that you would call it being hypnotic. So when being a young child, the things that are said around you, the conclusions you make of what people say, do, think of your own experiences go in and can be embedded, and particular beliefs can be there at that core time. And then it said, what if you had perfect parents? And when it says perfect parents, obviously that's the extended group, perfect school, perfect all this, that just resulted in you being built up, that any so-called failure was a falling forward, that there was a celebration of you, your uniqueness, who you are. How would that make you today, having an absolutely unshakable sense of belief in yourself? And as it says in the book itself, that absolutely unshakable sense of belief in yourself and the fundamental goodness of the world around you, to have that as who you are. And then it says, well, you can have that. And the key difference is, irrespective of what happened to you early in life, irrespective of what happens at any time, the four-step process allows you to bypass. So that's a really important word as I see it, because sometimes a whole lot of therapy is put towards delving into and a lot of focus on recalling the past. This really allows you to definitely do some of that, because to see the belief is then to know what we want that's opposite to that. But a key thing is to go through the steps of the process, looking at what you consciously want running through your life and how to install that. And even that word install is quite paramount, because knowing that we have the ability to look at our spirit and ourself as the wonderful being that we came in with, as who we are, then the body itself, to be able to look at that as a wonderful biochemical, one could almost use the word machine, even though that, you know, that certainly isn't all-encompassing. And then like a computer, there can be bugs in our software. What do? We can install a new program. Once we've installed it, it's the new thing. So this is really a very powerful word that we can say we install the new consciousness that we want running our life. The process allows us to bypass structures, limitations of our mind, our words, our thoughts. And the other thing it says is this process allows us to imprint. And again, another important word, and looking at the brain science behind it, We've heard of mirror neurons. We've heard of lots of different things that allow us to see how the brain can be totally rewired, totally changed. So that's what we're looking at here. And we're going on in a moment to part of those processes, in particular, one of the great exercises about having a basket. So we'll hear more from that. But in essence, right now, we're saying, how do we look at exactly what it is that we want? And that's come from, as we discussed last week, looking at what we don't want. And then these steps tell us exactly in a scientific perspective how to redo, how to install so that what you consciously want is the outcome. And as it said, that outcome is an absolutely unshakable sense of belief in yourself and the fundamental goodness of the world around you. And I'll hand over to Dr. Joyce Mollenhauer.
Thank you very much, Geraldine. That's wonderful. And I know it's pretty exciting. I was very excited when I got this book to actually get and to read it and to find out exactly how to do the reprogramming. So I think you gave a really great explanation there. What would you like to share, Joyce?
Sure. I think it's just fabulous that we've got all these different steps, and we're now at step three. After doing step one, when we identified the self-limiting beliefs and the moments of our life that we've considered just so negative that they've left us in a really limited place. And then we moved on to the clearing with those really good exercises that are worth doing every single day because they don't take long, including things like alternate nostril breathing that is a really common to yoga and many, many practices. So to do that every single day for those few minutes, then you can constantly work at getting balance. And I've worked all of these steps so far. So now I'm in step three, and this is where the book has us, that this is our chance to release negative beliefs and then install these new empowering beliefs of what we want to create this ideal life that in our imagination we wish that we had had as a child, as a teenager, as a young adult, whatever stage of life that you're at. And certainly at my age, at 80, it's not too late. I can definitely imagine what I want now with an imagination of a background of what has led me to the good in my life. So being a visual person, I really like their example of having a healing basket. And they talk about this can be any kind of container. For me, I like baskets. Baskets mean a lot to me. They're a really wonderful symbol. So my basket, when I visualize it, is a very deep basket because I want to make sure everything that I put into that basket is so far down, there's no chance it's going to spill out and come back to me. I'm letting it go forever. So what they do lists here, I think is really good, is what you want to put in this basket is whatever is not working in your life. So that takes a little bit of thinking because sometimes we're not as honest with ourselves as we could be. We maybe have taken for granted that some piece of our life just, there isn't any way of changing it. So that takes some thinking for sure. Then whatever makes you feel overwhelmed, that's maybe an easier thing to identify. Whatever thoughts, feelings, or hardships are interfering with your present life so that your present life isn't that ideal life that you can imagine. And we're going to learn how to totally create that. And the other piece of this is that you want to go back as far as you can remember. So this isn't just what might be today. You want to pull out the things that have stopped you and have stopped me from having the life that I know I can have. So all of that is really helpful. Now, once you've got your basket and you've put all of those negative beliefs and all those negative images of yourself into it, now you can decide, do you want to have a huge helium balloon and have it carried off into the heavens? Do you want to go to the ocean and send it out on a raft? Do you want to let it float if it's a basket that will float and let it leave forever your existence? So all of that is really, really visual and fun and makes it a very profound experience because it can be so real even though we're just imagining it. And then along with that, you want to, you've already identified your self-limiting belief earlier in step one. So now you're going to figure out what's the opposite of that. And you're going to create what that would be. And what I'm working with is I am powerful and capable. So they give you examples here of what you can use. And I'll now let the next co-host tell you some of the further steps to take here.
Wonderful, Joyce, thank you for that. Rosemary, hi, what would you like to share?
Yes, I want to talk about self-acceptance. I remember when I started many years ago that work, you know, about from the emotional psychology, I was really having a hard time because in every technique they are using for tapping for this kind of work, they are using the self-acceptance statement. So basically what it says is like, I deeply and fully accept myself. And I remember that I had a hard time saying that, but he's saying in the book, and I agree with that, that just saying it already makes a difference because when you start, you're not focusing on your problem like I am sick or I am having no money or I am this. You're focusing on your inner competence to change something. I'm basically saying, I deeply and fully accept myself. You're basically ready and you are ready to go and move on and be in the driver's seat and start working on changing your life. So even if you feel like, so I'm saying to the listener and to anybody who has that same situation, maybe don't worry if you don't feel like it right now, just using it makes a big difference. So in this part with self-acceptance, you start your work by setting a ground and saying, I fully and deeply accept myself. And he's saying that sometimes you might want to maybe change that or make that a little more elaborate. Like you could say, for example, I completely embrace myself, all that I have been and all that I will be with all my imperfections and all my limitless potentials. That basically gives the whole idea of what it means to accept yourself. But he's also saying for the work we are doing, and there's more to do in this chapter, keep it simple. Just keep it simple and don't make it a huge big sentence. Self-acceptance is also a way where you come into here and now. You're actually now accepting yourself. You're moving into the now in the present moment. And we all know that that is really what it's all about. Then you add something, and that is actually the main key of this work. You're adding something to this acceptance statement, and that's what he calls the personal code to joy. And what you actually do, and we have spent much time on identifying our core beliefs. You have identified what is it really, what stops us? Are we feeling we are not good enough, or are we feeling we are not safe, or is it maybe that we're thinking that we are alone in the world? And with the code of joy, you're actually changing that into a positive statement. So in case maybe you have identified in the previous chapter, and that's what I would recommend you definitely do, that you don't feel safe, you could say, I feel safe and secure in my life. And that would be your personal code of joy you're working with. Or if you have felt like maybe you're not lovable, you could say, I feel loved and deserving of love. So that's some of the samples he gives. And you can make up your own. It needs to be true to you. And you need to feel it. It's not about having a positive thinking statement. It's not about thinking it. You really need to feel it in your heart that this is really what you want to have in your life. So the personal code of joy in the book could sound like, I deeply and fully accept myself and I feel safe and secure in my life. Or I deeply and fully accept myself and I'm competent, capable, and worthy. Whatever it is which is helping you to change or transform your personal belief, that's what you would work with. And he says, especially if you're starting with this process, because you have to think so many things later, he says, make it simple, keep it just simple. So if you could say, I deeply and fully accept myself. I'm surrounded by trusting friends if you're feeling alone or if you have that belief. So you just keep it making a really simple statement. So, and I just wanted to add that or to remind us that this is not about thinking or positive thinking. It sounds like it right now, but we are moving into the decisive step where you will see that it's about really dissolving the emotional residue in your body, in your biochemistry, which has caused you to live these beliefs or to attract things around your core beliefs. And that's for me right now. Thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you, Rosemary. That was very clear. And I think it was really powerful doing this process myself when I just simply started doing the journaling on just those questions that they asked in order for us to be able to get those positive beliefs that Rosemary was just talking about. It really is worth taking the time to just do some journaling. And I like the way he phrased the questions, like, if you were raised by the perfect parents and you were completely supported and championed and praised in every accomplishment and encouraged at every setback and in every way, how would have you turned out? How would have it been different if your teachers and your peers had have been highly supportive and, you know, what would have been different in your life? And I noticed when I was journaling it, it was interesting because I think what came out for me was what I wasn't happy about was how it unfolded. In fact, I had this little voice in my head that said, perhaps everything happened the way that it happened to give me exactly who I need to be and exactly as I am today. So it was really worth doing because I pulled out then the values of what was most important to me. And they're not so much anything material or anything that I have, it's more who I am. And I think actually in hindsight, it's all those conflicts and all those challenges that have given me a reference point to really appreciate who I am deeply and given me the passion to understand what they're talking about in this book so I can help others. So in some ways, doing the exercise helped me trust that there's a process that was probably perfect for me and I'm sure out there for you too, as long as we can do the reprogramming of our thinking. And you know, I liked when he talked about some of the science in this the fact that the brain as you develop develops its myelination, which is that fatty tissue around the nerve fibers. And so when you're born, you really don't have a lot of that at all, so you have very limited ability to observe and to understand your world in the same way you do when your brain's fully developed. And that actually doesn't happen till you're 25. So it really does take a while for you to be able to stand back and observe what's happening and then integrate it all so that your sense of self is strong. So when you're younger, like they speak about in the book, it's sort of like you're in a hypnotic state that because you don't have this ability to observe, and your brain isn't developed, it's not processing as fast as it would be because that myelination serves like a very fast internet connection. The more myelin sheath around the nerves, the faster that they can actually emit impulses. So when you're younger, you don't have that. So everything that's said is taken on like a program and it doesn't belong to you. So I think that's why it's quite powerful to really now just get conscious of the program and not personalize it. And in an overriding way, love and accept yourself as you are and then restrict anything that doesn't serve you, because I very much believe we're born with the essence of who we'll always be regardless of our parents and of our upbringing. There's a sense of who we are in our heart, and that can't be taught. It can only be uncovered through clearing out any of the blocks that we've taken on as programming that isn't us. And so these tools around just doing the work of journaling and getting clear who you are, where you're heading, what your vision is for your life, and what you're wanting out of it, it's really powerful. And really being able to start seeing what that looks like. Like if I felt like I completely loved and accepted myself, what would I be doing and how would I be feeling as I'm doing it? And they speak quite a bit in the book about programming and how if we actually just visualize it and feel it, it's as good as doing it. There's studies that show you're really developing the same muscles in the body, even just visualizing lifting weights. You don't even have to actually lift weights because it's using the same neural pathways in the brain. The brain actually can't tell the difference between what's actually happening and what you're visualizing, which gives us so much scope for healing. So really, in some ways, who cares what your history was? Just imagine it. Imagine what you want it to be. And you're going to be reprogramming your brain because as adults with these tools, you're totally capable of it. So there's no reason why you wouldn't do it, because who doesn't want to live their most fulfilled life? And I know Geraldine's got a hand up. She has got something to say there. What would you like to share?
That key part of the book, and as you're saying about the brain, the key part of the book is it gives simple processes and that backup. And the beautiful thing here is that whole section that says, okay, we can say a positive affirmation and it won't necessarily have an outcome. And it even says, you can speak the words, I'm having a loving and fulfilling relationship until the cows come home. You know, it doesn't have an outcome necessarily. What does have the outcome, and this goes to previous parts of the book where it talks about us as a, you know, a bio field, you know, our electromagnetic being that we are. So the reason why we have to feel it and think it is because there's a fundamental principle to how we're made and how the universe acts. That means to send that message out into the universe for it to come back to us, two things are happening. To just say it means the electro part or our brain is sending a message, but without the magnetics of the heart sending out, it's not going to reach any distance. And to be able to get yourself into one of those higher emotional states where you're electromagnetic field is emanating that which you want, you may need to do something different or crazy. Sing your favorite song, dance, watch a funny movie, whatever it takes, because as Marianne was sharing, the brain, once you've put it into a particular state, that's the state it's in, whether it's from watching a movie or whether it's from you actually physically experiencing something. Once you've created both the electro, the thoughts, and the magnetic, the heart, and really felt that, this is your script. And I found when I was doing this process, just to share something quickly, quite recently I had the opportunity of buying a car that I've liked for a long time, and I've got all this internal part about, you know, why would you have a nice car when you could buy a much cheaper one that's still electric and still contributes to the planet and make sure that everyone else's things are covered first, all this narrative. And it was when a friend, I was just internalizing it, not talking to anyone else, and then a friend rung and I said, I'm just going through these thoughts, and they said to me, I think it's just that you don't think you deserve it. And I held myself together enough while they were on the phone just to change the conversation, blah blah blah, hang up. And then I still had another half an hour to drive, and I cried for at least 15 minutes straight after that phone call. Something in my body was like totally triggered. You don't feel worthy to have that car. So of course I agreed, I'm having that car. And it was then interesting to see all this other unfolding that's been happening. I went to drive into a place where we get landscape supplies, and I thought, oh, if they see this car, they're not going to give me the business discount because I'll think I've got lots of money. And it's like, where did that come from? And I looked at it and saw a lot of my childhood, a lot of conditioning, a lot of watching my mom do really well of, you know, making sure she was being as cost saving as possible. And then the part of if you're needing, you'll be looked after. If you're not needing to be looked after, you might not survive. And it was such an aha moment that it actually, I felt it almost like a sweat through my body. So, and I know that this is coming up for me because I'm reading the book. So sometimes you don't know when it's going to come to you. Sometimes it comes because you've chosen to do the journaling. Sometimes you do the journaling and then you're asking yourself to be ready for this information to come forward. So I highly suggest, and I must say things are just going from great to greater as I go through this unfolding now and this little journey of me and the car and all the things that are being uncovered like onion rings. So part of me still says, you don't need a material thing to make you happy. Absolutely. I don't mind what it is. It just happens that in this narrative, that's what's allowing the unfolding. So have the book, have a look at these things and be ready for the drop-ins to come that are showing you these old patterns and the amazingness that happens as it comes off. But as it says, it's about seeing it, feeling it, tasting it, touching it. What does it look like? Go and experience it, whether through a movie or be the script writer of your own thing and act it out as you want it. It really works from a physics perspective.
Powerful. Thank you for sharing. And I know we have Rosemary on the line. What would? Oh, sorry, Joyce. Joyce, you've got your hand up. What would you like to share?
Well, just to repeat, that if you're a visual person, some of these exercises you'll get a great amount out of if you actually follow some of the specifics that they're suggesting, or create your own visual so that it's a very personal exercise that when you actually follow through with identifying, follow through with the self-limiting, follow through with the releasing, and then the next step is going to, the fourth step is going to be anchoring it all. So we look forward to getting that last phase to complete this picture so that we will feel and know that because we have read this book, because we have done the exercises, because we have been totally open to be a new person, then that is the result that we will be living. So I look forward to that. And I am enjoying the changes that I'm already feeling.
Great, thank you. And Rosemary, what would you like to share?
Yeah, I think we're coming now to the exciting part of the book, because what they are introducing is what we have shared about before in previous episodes. They're introducing a technique which comes from the energy psychology, basically the idea that our body is a biofield and that we are having energy running through our meridians and certain acupuncture points, which we know from the Chinese tradition. And they're using this wisdom to actually make the decisive change, as we talked before, and Geraldine and Marianne were saying that it's not enough just to say what you want and make a positive statement. You have to work with your body. It is actually part of your muscles. I mean, I have been doing Rolfing many, many years ago, and the idea of Rolfing was already long before energy psychology came up, is to work with the muscles and to release old patterns. It was crucial, painful, because it is really in your body. It is in your cells, in your chemistry. If you have a deep post-traumatic event or a traumatic event in your life, or if you have a very core belief which runs your life, like you're feeling not good enough or you're feeling abandoned or whatever. So what he's introducing on page 153 in the book is that you are actually rubbing a point on your meridians, and you're placing your right hand over your heart, right where you usually place it when you are doing the singing the national hymn of Zimbabwe, for example. And then you are feeling with your fingers a space between the second and the third rib, and you notice it because you can see that it is a little bit tender there. It's kind of like even hurt. It's a very important acupoint. And if you're not sure about, like, say, you know, you can always get, can get into the doubts when you go in this process. If you're not sure about it, just use your whole hand. You know, you're going to cover it anyway. And then you are using that code to joy, which we shared before. For example, I deeply and fully accept myself and I feel safe and secure. And while you're rubbing or tapping it, you're actually triggering a neural empathic response. And that works with your brain, especially with your limbic brain, to dissolve some of this emotional residue. So you are basically rubbing this spot, and then you are repeating your personal code to joy loud 5 times. And I have done that with some statements I developed, and it's amazing how quickly it works. I mean, that's what they're actually saying in energy psychology. You're spending maybe hours or days or weeks or months in therapy or other treatments, and this can work in minutes. In minutes, you can dissolve situations or problems you have by saying, I deeply and fully accept myself, and I am, or I bring, or I have, whatever it is you want to create and what you want to change. So it's actually a gateway to your biofield, and you are working with the energies of your body. That is a very, very important part you need to do to really dissolve it, because as Geraldine said, I mean, you can say I'm having a loving and fulfilling relationship until the cows come home. It's not going to change. And maybe some of you remember the times when we were writing affirmations on the left side, like I love myself, and on the right side we were writing what our subconscious said. Really? You love yourself? I don't believe that. So you remember that time, and maybe that tells you that it doesn't work just to do it in thinking. You need to master this tapping technique. That's for right now.
Great, thank you. And I think just leading on from that, Rosemary, I think the next big part of this is, as you're doing it, then you imagine what your ideal life looks like. So for everybody, it's going to be different. So let's say your statement was, I'm safe and secure. I completely and utterly accept myself and I'm safe and secure. For one person, that might mean safe in relationships. Maybe they're in a very nurturing, caring, gentle relationship where they're physically looked after as well as emotionally. But for somebody else, it might mean that they've got a roof over their head and they're living in a place that has a lot of peace around it and their nature. So the next phase then really installs what it looks like for you in imagery and in feeling, and really makes it real on a body, from a body level. So as you're doing those statements, you actually feel the statement. And if you think about it, often when the programming occurs in your life, it's pre-verbal. It's before you've really even got language or words to really understand what's happening. It all happens in feeling, and it's programmed in the nervous system as a feeling state. So to undo that programming, we induce a new feeling state. So it even doesn't for you have to make a lot of logical sense, because it wasn't logical when you first believed you were unsafe or unworthy, because that was a perception and an experience of the age that you were in, the environment that you were in. And now as adults, we're in charge of our choices, we're in charge of our environment. And so whatever that was is over. It's now just simply the chemical programming in the body that we want to re-script. So imagery and pulling up the new feelings and really identifying what that means and what that specifically looks like for you and is unique to you is a really important part of this next phase. You really want to invoke all the feelings, because it's within the feeling is the belief. So you want to feel safe in the context that is important and valuable to you. And there's lots of different variations that they speak about in the book that we might want to go through as well. But that's the core of what they're talking about here, is identifying your beliefs, releasing the past through your basket, releasing everything, then coming up with your self-accepting belief that you're programming in, and then tapping that in through the center on the left-hand side, in between the ribs there of your heart, and then feeling it. So that's basically my understanding of what they've shared here is the basic steps. And then there's a whole lot of variations that we can add to it if we need to, because ultimately it just has to work for you. At the end of the day, there's no real right or wrong about it. It's just programming. So however is true for you. When we're very visual can speak louder than 1,000 words sometimes. So different visualizations will work better for some than others. So it's just a matter of finding the right keys for you. And do we have now any other co-hosts that has something you would like to add or comment?
Yes, I would love to. I know we've talked about homeostasis a fair bit as we've journeyed through this book. And I'm sure there's other people besides myself that are just amazed. For instance, if you get a sliver in your hand, or in Arizona, we get thorns from many of the cactuses. If you actually choose to leave it alone, it is amazing how quickly the body gets rid of it. It hurts for maybe a short while, but the body knows how to let that leave, and it works its way through. So in addition to the physical body having that ability, the psyche, our mental, our emotional bodies also know how to heal naturally. We know what homeostasis is. We know when we're balanced and when we're not balanced. So there are very definite exercises that we can do, and many of them are in this book. And I'm sure you've discovered others along the way. Sometimes just taking a deep breath on occasion during the day, if you're at a stoplight and you're feeling pressured for time and the light doesn't seem to be changing, sometimes just taking a deep breath. But to recognize that your body, your psyche, knows how to heal itself. So this isn't something that's beyond belief. If you just accept the concept that homeostasis exists for you, and you can achieve exactly what this book is allowing us to work towards.
Yeah, thank you, Joyce. It's powerful. I think the mind body has all the mechanisms it needs to do the self-healing. And I really noticed that in the EMDR therapy that I do, that we almost just simply have to just get out of the way and allow the visualizations to come in exactly the way that that person needs. And the brain will do that itself. Like, we can't actually logically control that necessarily, just simply trust that if the person's visualizing it, it's somehow significant to them, and that that visualization really programs in the new reality for them. And so I think it's about all of us just staying really open and trusting that we have what we need to heal. Nothing's fixed. And I can see Geraldine has something she wants to add.
Yes, leading on from what you were just saying then as well, that ability that we all have to heal, and how it sometimes doesn't seem logic. Again, the brain research has shown us that the reason for that is that at times of physical or emotional stresses, that the laying down of the memories actually happens in a more primitive part of the brain, because the magnificence that we are goes to protect our thinking part, or our part of the brain that we, you know, use all the time in our analytical thought, and shuts that down to protect it, and then stores the new information in the primitive part. But that also means it's not necessarily easy and logic to say, oh, I remember when that happened, and because I remember it, I can now deal with it. Which is why through processes such as EMDR, even reading the book and starting things moving, asking the questions, really allow yourself to be present with whatever comes up. I also reflect too that sometimes things happen. We talked a lot about things being installed early in life. Sometimes, and I definitely use this word install like the book does, it can happen, as I mentioned, those moments of trauma physical or mental, also install beliefs. So you could be at any age in your life. If you have had one of those situations, be gentle with yourself and acknowledging that straight after that, even though you've come back to normal, there could be additional fears, additional belief patterns, and you may just not know where they're from. Chances are there's new wording, new feelings that have been installed, particularly at those times you usually have a feeling and a thought at the same time. We've said how powerful that is in bringing to you what you want. Having a feeling and a thought works, whatever it is, whether you're bringing to you that which you don't want or that which you do want. So to be gentle on yourself, get assistance when you've been through a time of physical or emotional trauma. And also if you've been through a time where you've had deep medications or sedation that also shut down that part of the brain. So the whole thing is be gentle on yourself, because you are amazing and magnificent. And it could be one of these situations where a pattern, a belief, words have been installed and you need these processes to take them out. Another quick one based on the brain, as Marianne shared earlier and the book shares, it's about 24 years of age that all the myelin sheathing is fully in place. For the first peoples in Australia, the ones that I've worked with, they say at the age of 30 is when reason kicks in. Before that is passion. You're ruled by passion up to that age. At 30, it's reason. At 30, around 30 is a lot of times when ceremonies happen, because there's an acknowledgement that you're now moving into another phase of your life. And I find this over and over again. Traditional wisdoms are already totally in keeping with our biology and our beliefs. And when you see the patterns and ceremonies and acknowledgements, they're totally in alignment with this. So as we said, about 24 full myelin sheath, it's 30 years of age when it's acknowledged that wisdom, and wisdom comes through reason and passion being married together.
Wonderful. And Rosemary, what would you like to share?
Yeah, I want to talk about the unseen therapist. Well, basically, that's an expression, one of the main influencer of emotional or energy psychology coined Gary Craig, who was an engineer, and he was actually making that whole technique available to millions of people. And unseen therapist, that is the one which in Code of Joy is called your executive function. You can actually speak to this person inside of you, and you can call it a boss, a soul, a friend, whatever. And you can ask them, actually, please gather up and release any old material from the past that's in the way of my ideal life. So you can actually work with this subconscious unseen therapist. And they are moving in the energy psychology field. They are moving away, actually, more from tapping and rubbing and moving more into exactly what they are recommending here, that you're including an energy inside of yourself which will take care of things. Because as the body is able to heal, the psyche also can heal herself. All you need is an intention to just change things. It's an intention to become competent. It's an intention to become a loving person. And the psyche will start setting you in an individual process. Just as Marian said, it's a very individual process. And I've noticed when I was working with this imaging, like you imaging maybe your perfect relationship, or you imaging, I was imaging a new place to stay and a new place to live. What happens is you start first with the image you're making up consciously, but if you let go of the process, you're amazed what comes out of it. And when you read your paper, you think, oh God, this is really the perfect place I want. So it is coming from your inner ability to heal yourself when you want to maybe visualize something you want. And the other thing I want to say is, for many people, it might be a little bit strange to sit there and say an affirmation. Well, they might know that, but to rub yourself on the rib and to tap it, it might be kind of like, is this really working? So I just want to repeat again what we said in previous articles, that previous chapters, that it has been proven in many, many studies that it is working. And I will be putting up an article by Sunday about the many resources you can find on the internet to check out the science behind it, and also many techniques or other situations. Like, for example, there's a huge network in Africa and third world countries where they are using tapping techniques. They're actually teaching the people in the community to use them and then doing them in a group together. And they have made tremendous results. Over 10,000 people have been healed and touched by this already. So it is really working. So just trust and do it. And you also can include your body parts related to what your issue is. Let's say you have an issue with loneliness or relationships. You just can place your hand on your heart and allow the body to do its work. Allow your body system, your psychological system, your emotional system, allow it to do its work. And the website I'm putting it up is the Quantum Leap bookclub.com website. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Rosemary. That was powerful. And in the book, he talks about how you can vary all those different images and things. And like, for example, if you were doing your basket release, instead of, you know, you can make up any kind of basket, something that might float off in the water or a rocket ship going to space. But really, it doesn't really matter as long as you get the sense of the negative being washed away in a visual sense. So, for example, they give other variations, like you could be standing under a waterfall and letting the water wash away the negative beliefs, or walking or dancing in the rain and letting that cleanse you, or sort of dunking in a pure mountain lake. There are many ways, because all of the programming, all the visualizations simply let the unconscious know that you've stepped in as a grown-up, logical, conscious being, and you're saying that this is done, this is the past, and you're letting it go. So you're the programmer, actually, and the one living out the program. And so, you know, we're getting off automatic pilot here. It isn't woo-hoo. There's a science behind this now. That just allows us to get the conscious insight really into what sits in the unconscious, and just use the language of the unconscious is probably a way to say it, to release the unconscious. And most of us really have felt that logical reasoning hasn't worked when it's something so ingrained in the unconscious that's programmed in feelings and programmed even at pre-verbal times in our life, so we have no idea what the programming is. We just simply know the feeling. So all these different techniques are the language of the unconscious, and we just simply need to get to know the language in order to use it, and to use it to our advantage to live the life we dream. And it's been put together beautifully in the book here about how to use the language of the unconscious mind to re-script it. And do we have another co-host that has something to share before we wrap up this call today?
Geraldine here, and I know we're very close to the end, and it's just bringing it full circle that everything that we've said really takes us back to that part of the book that says, you know, what would your life look and feel like today if you'd been nurtured and developed in such a way that you had absolutely unshakable sense of belief in yourself and the fundamental goodness of the world around you. And I think this is particularly pertinent for right now. It's the belief in yourself and the fundamental goodness of the world around you, which reminds me, for example, when I'm scrolling through Facebook or anything else that shows us a version of the world around us, how much are we looking for that which demonstrates the fundamental goodness of the world around us, because there are absolutely an outpouring of magnificent examples of humanity right now. So as we look for it, and I recall from Parisha, the morning statement of, when I open my eyes, I will see 1,000 beautiful things, and my hands will hold 100 sacred objects. And as I look around, I see great beauty in all I see. And I feel to say that even before we open our eyes in the morning helps us with the unshakable sense of belief in ourselves and the fundamental goodness in the world around us. And as we look, we create. I think this personal code to joy and the steps it gives us to pull off those onion rings and really be the magnificence that we are is very powerful.
Yes, it is. Very powerful. Thank you. And does anyone else have something you'd like to share?
Yeah, I would like to point out that you can also use these statements like, I am safe, I'm worthy, I'm powerful, and connecting it with an object in your life. He's recommending car keys. And even whenever you have your car keys in your hand, you just think about that favorite statement you developed. And, you know, I'm safe, I'm lovable, I am powerful. Also, what I did is I use that differently. I always say statements like that when I go in and outside of my car, because I travel a lot with my car around during the day. And I got so used to it that when I open the door, when I go in the door, in the car, I just say my statements. I have them on the car. I can see them also when I'm driving. So just base yourself in that. It's not about repeating it like automatically and like, okay, if I say it 100 times, it might work better. But rather feel it. Feel it when you say it and feel that you're already there. And there's no time, be in the presence and think you are already there. Thanks.
Yeah, and I thought it was powerful how he shared, but just simply tuning into your car keys gives you the recognition that you're an adult now. And as an adult, everything that you were programmed with as a child is actually now over, and that we're in charge of our lives now. And a simple car key, because of the autonomy it is, you got it when you're an adult, like all the things associated with car keys, has a powerful impact. So everybody might have something different where that moment is where they go, yeah, I'm totally in charge. For you, it might be car keys. For somebody else, it could be something else. So I think you made a really important point, Rosemary, and I think in the book they made a really important point about that. But anyway, it's been a wonderful time, so thank you for sharing today. It's time to conclude our studies, and we thank you for sharing your energy and time with us. You matter and count, and you always make a difference. We look forward to you being with us next week as we make that leap to greater consciousness. Have a powerful week and allow your light to shine, and always all good things to you.
Thank you for listening to Quantum Leap Book Club. For more information where you can contact us, go to loaradionetwork.com/quantum-leap. Have a great week.